This is Bruce Collins, your host for the Bible Studies program, and again, greetings this morning. We're glad you've tuned us in, and we trust the program is a blessing and a help to you. Now, if you'd like to contact me, again, you can write to me using the old-fashioned post office box way, Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849, or the easier way, if you have a computer, is to go to my website, bdcministries.com, bdcministries.com. This program can be re-listened to there, and there's a wealth of information there that you might find helpful. In addition, there is an address, and there's a phone number, and there's an email address, all of which are available on that website, and I would love to hear from you. Now, we've been looking at the Lord and the descriptions that are given to us of Him in the Bible, and it's interesting that as I've begun to list, for the most part, words that describe Him, it seems as though there's no end of them. It takes an awfully lot of words to describe different aspects of the Lord and who He is. There's some that we haven't covered at this time that we've covered in the past. We've looked at the Lord as the Word, and in the past we've looked at Him as the Shepherd, and there's other words that we have used, but today I want to look at Him as our Redeemer. And this is a word that is often used, but I wonder if we really understand what it means. To redeem something is to buy it back. Sometimes it means to deliver it. Sometimes it means to pay a ransom for something. For example, if somebody has been kidnapped and they're asked for money in order to get the person that's been kidnapped back, we call that a ransom, but in a sense that's one aspect of redemption, because if that was your son or your daughter that was kidnapped, you already have a claim on them by the first birth. But in order to get them back, and in order to bring them back into your family, you have to make this payment. And it's sort of like making payment twice, and that's kind of the situation we're into with the Lord. You see, we were created by God. We were created really by the Lord Jesus, as I understand it. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. So we were created by the Lord Jesus, but Satan, the adversary of the Lord and our adversary, was determined to destroy the beauty of that first creation, the beauty of the Garden of Eden, the beauty of man and woman in the Garden of Eden, the beauty of the fellowship that they enjoyed there. But we had been created by the Lord, and so we were His by creation. But when Satan came along and asked a simple question that he constantly asks today of each one of us, and that question is, yea, hath God said? And when he convinces people that what they believe is more important than what the Bible says, then sin comes in and our fellowship with God is destroyed, and God considers us to be lost sheep. We are lost to Him from the standpoint of His fellowship, and we are lost to Him from the standpoint of our eternal destiny. And so, in order to undo what Satan has done, Christ redeemed us. He redeemed us, we read, from the curse of the law. We would read that in Galatians chapter 3. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. And so the Lord paid a price to buy us back from the slave market of sin. So He had owned us by creation, and if we trust Him, then He owns us by virtue of His death on the cross, by virtue of the price that was paid there. Now, this picture is seen in the Old Testament. We read first about redemption in Exodus chapter 13, verse 13, where we're looking at donkeys. And we'll read there, but every firstborn of a donkey you shall redeem with a lamb. But if you will not redeem it, then you shall break its neck. So a donkey was supposed to die, the firstborn which always speaks of what we are by nature, the firstborn of a donkey should have died, and unless if you wanted to keep that donkey, if you wanted to use that donkey, then you had to pay a price to do that, and the price was the death of a lamb. And of course, again, we see the picture of the Lord Jesus as our lamb dying in order to buy us back from the unclean state that we're born in, So we have been essentially the Lord's. We are the Lord's by the first creation. Then we're lost to Him because of the nature of sin that we inherit from Adam and Eve. And now He buys us back, and He pays the price so that He can have us as His own. So that is redemption. And so the donkey had to be redeemed, but it required the death of a lamb, and then the donkey could be kept alive. Job knew about redemption. He says in John 19, verse 25, "For I know that my Redeemer lives, and he shall stand at last on the earth." And I find it interesting that he talks about a Redeemer, and yet when we look at the book of Job, we find out that he was an upright man, one that avoided evil. It says he eschewed in the old King James. He eschewed evil. He avoided evil. And there was none like him on the whole earth. And in many ways, he typified the Lord Jesus and was willing to suffer at the hands of God, in his case, without realizing why he was suffering. But nevertheless, he says that he had to be redeemed. And so when we look at Job, even though Job was upright, and even though Job was a worshiper of God in the right sense, we know that he knew that he had sinned, that he had to be redeemed from. As a matter of fact, he constantly offered sacrifices for his own children because he was worried that they would party and turn their backs upon God, and he didn't want that, and so he constantly concerned himself. Actually, when he offered those sacrifices, in a sense, it was like us praying for our children. And so he realized that there was consequences associated with this thing called sin. And yet, in Job 19, verse 25, he says, "I know that my Redeemer lives." And he realized that there was a living God who, apparently, Christ hadn't come yet, but he must have understood that Christ would come and pay the penalty, pay the price that was required for him to be bought back from the slave market of sin, even though from man's standpoint, he was one who always did that which was right. And so we realize that there's been a great price paid in order for us to have a place in the Lord's presence. And I've often looked at this matter of redemption and found it to be kind of an unhappy word in my mind, because why should the Lord have to pay for us twice? Well, we know that people in the Old Testament had land that was given to them by God. Their plots were given to them. But if they got poor, they might have to sell that land. But yet, if the land was sold, a relative could pay the price to redeem it and buy that land back and keep it in the family. It was a redemption price. And when we think of this having to pay a redemption price, it seems like, in a sense, the redemption price is something that is wasted. And yet, from the standpoint of the one who wants to redeem a piece of property, or from the standpoint of one who wants to redeem a life, or from the standpoint of one who wants to redeem an animal, it's not wasted because they get that life, that person, or that animal. But they shouldn't have had to pay it. And we realize that Adam and Eve should not have sinned in the Garden of Eden. They should have believed God when he said that if they ate of that forbidden fruit, they would surely die. And Satan says, "You shall not surely die." And so all of us have our ways of questioning the things in the Bible that we don't want to believe. And we show that we are sinners as a result of that. But God in his love has given us his Son to be our Redeemer and to buy us back from the slave market of sin. And if you're a saved person today, a believer, in a sense, God has paid two prices for you. Whatever it cost him to make you in the original creation, has already made you his by creation. And now You are going to be his by redemption. Sometimes we sing a song that I really like. It goes, "My Redeemer. Oh, what beauties in that lovely name appear. None but Jesus in his glories shall the honored title wear. My Redeemer, thou hast my salvation wrought." See, whoever wrote this knew that we had to be redeemed in order to be saved. Sunk in ruin, sin, and misery, bound by Satan's captive chain, guided by his artful treachery, hurrying on to endless pain, my Redeemer, pluck me as a brand from hell. Mine by covenant, mine forever, mine by oath and mine by blood, mine nor time the bond shall sever, mine as an unchanging God, my Redeemer, oh how sweet to call thee mine. When in heaven I see thy glory, when before thy throne I bow, perfected I shall be like thee fully. Thy redemption know, my Redeemer, then shall hear me shout his praise. And when I think of the cost of our redemption, it boggles my mind to think that the Lord would give his life in order to pay the price that allows us to be saved and allows us to be in heaven. If we had lost a child to kidnappers, we would pay whatever it took to get them back, and that's exactly what God did. He paid whatever it took, and in this case it took the life of his son in order to get him, get us back. We're going to see that matter of redemption in the book of the Revelation in a coming day when we look at the chapters in Revelation that show us the worship that takes place in heaven, the heavenly scene. We read in Revelation 5 and verse 8, "Now when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each having a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, You are worthy to take the scroll and to open the seals, for you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation." And so these people are talking about the Lord opening the scrolls that will be the coming judgments on this earth because of the people who nationally have rejected the Lord Jesus. When I think of redemption, I think of how precious God has considered us. And when I think of the price that was paid, I think of the fact that God has proven to us that he really does not forsake the people that he created. He's provided a way of escape whereby they don't have to undergo his judgments, and those judgments are seen in all of their force in the book of the Revelation. And so, friend, we have a Savior who died for us and paid the price of our redemption. It wasn't silver, it wasn't gold, it was the blood of the Lord Jesus, the death really of the Lord Jesus, that has redeemed us from this slave market of sin. And I hope that if you're listening to this and you've never appreciated before the great price that's been paid in order to save you, then I hope that if you've never trusted the Lord, that today you'll trust this one who would pay such a great price to redeem us. And if you've been redeemed and haven't really understood the matter of redemption and the precious nature of the of each one of us who have been redeemed and the price that's been paid, I hope it'll become precious to you today. Now, our Heavenly Father, bless thy word and bless those who have listened as we give thanks in our Savior's name. Amen.